And we ended up in our last lesson with the 16th verse. You may recall, think I will start up with the 13th verse and we'll just read on down. This is where it is. The Isaiah reproves the nation Israel. Alright, verse of the Lord, and his Lord is Adonai, said, for as much as his people draw nearly with their mouth and develop the army, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precepts of man. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of the wise men shall perish, and the understanding of the prudent man shall be hid or set aside. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel, and how they're trying to do this today. Hide their counsel from the Lord, and their work in the dark, and they say, who seeth us, and who knoweth us? Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. For shall the work say of him that made it, he made me not? Or shall the same thing say of him that framed it, he had no understanding? Then this is where we pick up tonight. Is it not yet a very little while, and Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be esteemed as a forest? And in that day, this is looking to the future now, shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord. That shall be a marvelous day. And the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. For the terrible one is about to knock, and the scorner is consumed, and all that watch for iniquity are cut off. That make a man an offender for a word or for a cause, and lay a snare for him that reproveth in the gate, and turn aside the just for a thing of naught. Therefore thus saith the Lord who redeemed Abraham concerning the house of Jacob, Jacob shall not now be ashamed, neither shall his face now wax pale. But when he singeth his children, the work of mine hand, that's what he had done, in the midst of him they shall sanctify my name, and sanctify the Holy One of Jacob, and shall fear the God of Israel. They also that erred in spirit shall come to understanding, and they that murmured shall learn doctrine. Praise the Lord. This portion, of course, is speaking of the future, of the blessings that will come after the deliverance of the nation Israel. This, in the 17th verse, Isaiah is speaking, of course, he's giving out what the Lord has given him. And instead of apostate Israel doing the turning, as we read up in the 16th verse, they thought they were the potter and God was the clay. But here, we're going to find out that it's God who is going to be doing the turning. He's going to do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. And over in the 32nd chapter and the 16th verse, we have a beautiful verse on this. He said, until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. And that harmonizes with this. But it's going to be a marvelous time. This fruitful field is Carmel in the Hebrew. It's literally Carmel. And what seems as a fruitful field will become a forest. They thought it was a very fruitful field, but the Lord's going to really make it a fruitful field. And then the forest that they assumed as a forest will become a wild wood. It will not be profitable for anything. And so it's going to be quite a turnaround when the Holy Spirit comes and works in the lives of these people. They boast in their technology and what they can do over there now, but then it's going to be a lot different. All right, in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book. We read there in the 18th verse. These are the ones who were deaf to the voice of the Lord. They're going to hear. that could be a day. This is speaking to the nation Israel now primarily, but it also can speak to individuals in our day. The eyes of the blind shall be blurred. They'll come out of the obscurity and their darkness and understand the will of the Lord. That's going to be a marvelous day. Oh, well, today they're just trying to figure all this out for themselves. Well, the day that the Lord takes those blinders off, you know, horses have blinders, don't they, sometimes? Well, there's a lot of God's people that have blinders, and they don't understand because they don't want to know the reason, mainly. The 19th verse, the meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. This phrase, the title, the Holy One of Israel, is mentioned 24 times in this book of Isaiah. I looked that up in Psalms because I noticed it several times here, and it's 24 times. The meek here, these are the ones who, as in the future days, in that day, the ones that are going to be afflicted, will be the godly that will be afflicted. The poor will be the needy ones, and they are the ones who are going to be the heirs of his grace. That's going to be a marvelous day. Let's read some scriptures along with that. Let's go over to the 61st chapter. Isaiah 61. Oh, thank the Lord. I'm glad we've got a future, a glorious future to look forward to. All right, Isaiah 61:1. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is the Holy Spirit that is upon Jesus. Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. This word meek, I have a note in here that these are sin weary. Well, they're the suppliants. They want the Lord. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Now, all of us were bound in sin, every one of us. And the Lord came to loose us. Isn't that wonderful? Open the prison for us. And then, let's go back to the 11th chapter of Isaiah. These are marvelous, and let's just trust the Lord to help us. We have the Holy Spirit to help us understand these wonderful scriptures. Isaiah 11 and the 4th verse. Let's just read the 4th verse. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, there we have the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. So the Lord is going to judge with righteousness, and he's going to slay the wicked. Here is the Antichrist. During the millennial reign of Christ, the 1,000 years, Jesus is going to rule with a rod, and because the nations are going to have to be brought into subjection to him. Then let's go to Psalms 149 and the 1st verse. We got a paper, a magazine from Israel, and we'll endeavor to get some copies made of these articles. But they were telling about all the meetings that these leaders are having today to bring this everything into unity, even the religious leaders. They had quite a meeting of all the religions of the world, and they want every religion, as they call it, to unify. See how these things are coming to pass? All right, Psalms 149:4. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people, he will beautify the meek with salvation. What a way to be beautified. And that's him. Praise the Lord. And then that we have a precious scripture in Matthew that I always have loved. Matthew 11 is a quote that I've turned over. This is an invitation to man. When he came to invite us to him. He's the only one that can give us this rest and this peace. Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That precious. I love those verses. Matthew 11:28. Praise the Lord. So we read here that they're going to increase in the joy is going to increase in the Lord. When they look upon him, I know life's going to increase. They see him. Praise the Lord. And the 20th verse gives us the reason in Isaiah 29. For the terrible one, this is Satan and the Antichrist, for there's the triunity of evil. And so this can be either Satan or the Antichrist is brought to naught. And that's going to be a wonderful way. That's going to be, the Antichrist is going to be put into the lake of fire, the Antichrist and the false prophet, at the end of the 7 years. And then Satan's going to be bound for 1,000 years. And then after that 1,000 years, he will be put into the lake of fire. So they're going to be brought to naught. And the squire, this is equal to the false prophet, is consumed, and all that watch for iniquity are cut off. That this is quite a statement here. The terrible one, will comment on this first. This is the external foe. I thought this was a good thought. The squire is the internal foe. They work together, go hand in glove. And then all that watch for iniquity are cut off. These are the Pharisees. They're those who not only commit iniquity, but watch for opportunities to consume or to chastise. So let's read some scriptures on this and cut the scriptures. Let's go to Micah, the late prophet of Micah. Micah, the second chapter. This is what the Pharisees did, and the former Pharisee today is still doing this. In fact, it's getting worse today. Micah 2 and the first verse. Woe to them that devise iniquity and work evil upon their beds. When the morning is light, they practice it because it is in the power of their hand. Now this is what the Pharisees did with Jesus, and I want to go over there. Let's go to Matthew. It's God himself stood there in their midst. Matthew 26, and notice here what they did to him. This day of judgment sort of comes to them for these Pharisees too, and we'll go stand before this very one who they did this to. Matthew 26, and the 59th verse. Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death. See what he's talking about here? They watched for iniquity to cut off. And this is what the Pharisees were doing with Jesus. And then in the 27th chapter of Matthew, the first verse, when the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus and put him to death. Everything they did was illegal. They had no right to do it, but they did it. It was all in God's order. The 21st verse of Isaiah 29 says that make a man an offender for a word or for a cause, and lay a snare for him that reproveth in the gate, and turn aside the just for a thing of naught. These religious leaders, they search like for man like a carrion does. They want to destroy him. They want to devour him. And again, this is what the Pharisees did with Jesus. Let's go to Matthew again, the 22nd chapter of Matthew. When I think upon these scriptures and realize that everyone that did this to him, and today everyone that's doing this to him, are going to stand before him. Every one of us are going to stand before him, and these people are going to receive a terrible judgment. Matthew 22, and notice what they did in the 15th verse. Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. See, they were trying to trap him. And we have the same thought over in John, the 8th chapter, John 8 and the 6th verse. They wanted to destroy him before he ever went to Calvary. And Satan was using them to try to do this, because if Jesus had went, had not gone to Calvary, Satan wouldn't have been defeated. And he knew this. So he was using these Pharisees to try to destroy him before he finished the work the Lord gave him to do. From John 8 and the 6th verse, "This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him." So I'm going to start at the beginning of this. Jesus, in the first verse, "Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down, and he taught them." When I read this, I think, God sat down. "And the scribes and Pharisees brought him unto him a woman taken in adultery. When they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us," and they're telling him, "that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou?" Look, he's the one that wrote that law. Now they're telling him what's in the law. "This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus, he didn't say a word. He stooped down, and with his finger he wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not." I'm going to go ahead and finish this. "But when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself, and he said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground." We're not told what he wrote. "And they which heard it, being convicted or reproved by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst." I heard this a while back. The minister was speaking on this, and he said these Pharisees, they caught her in the act and just drug her to Jesus along the ground, which I wouldn't be surprised. "So when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those right accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." That precious. Oh, thank the Lord. All right, then let's go to Luke, the 11th chapter of Luke. Luke 11, 53 and 54. Again, this we're speaking regarding the religious people laying a snare for Jesus. Luke 11, 53 and 54. "And as he said these things unto them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to urge or chide him vehemently, and to provoke him to speak of many things, laying wait for him, and seeking to cut something out of his mouth, that they might accuse him." This is what they were doing, and this is what they were trying to do with Isaiah, the same thing. So this is, and God's going to take care of them. So in the 22nd verse of about from Isaiah, we read here that thus saith the Lord who redeemed Abraham. Now the Lord redeemed Abraham. Jehovah himself did, the ever faithful, ever never changing of God. He says, "I am the same one who redeemed Abraham, and I'm going to redeem you." And just as Abraham was separated from ungodly man who had sunk into idol worship, and we know the Lord delivered Abraham from idol worship, but the Lord separated Abraham from that idol worship, and he became the father of the faithful. Everyone, the father of those who walk by faith. So this remnant, he is going to redeem them. And the same covenant that he made with Abraham, he's going to fulfill it. He's not going to let it fall, but he's going to redeem this remnant and separate them from the apostate mass of Israel. There's a lot of Israel over there, the people of Israel, that are apostate. They do not believe it. But this remnant is going to sanctify the Lord, and that's going to be a wonderful thing, is verse 23. "And when he seeth his children, the work of mine hands," and I studied that today, that work of my hands was precious. And we'll read some scriptures here in a minute. "The work of my hands in the midst of him Notice that, the wording there. They shall sanctify my name and sanctify the Holy One of Jacob and shall fear the God of Israel. The work of mine hand. Aren't we all the work of the Lord's hand? In Ephesians, we read, Ephesians 3:6, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Let's read the 43rd chapter of Isaiah. He has some beautiful verses, the way that the Lord tells Isaiah writing in 43, praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit cheered us and illuminate these to our hearts. Isaiah 43 is the first verse. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob. Didn't he create all of us? Yes. And we're not our own, are we? And he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Isn't that wonderful? They belong to the Lord. And then in the 54th chapter of Isaiah, we'll no doubt go into these a little more when we get over here. Isaiah 54 and the 5th verse. For thy maker is thine husband, talking to his remnant. The Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. There's that title again. The God, and this word the God means is Elohim, the triune God of the whole earth shall he be called. So that thy maker is thy husband. And then let's go to the 64th chapter of Isaiah. Praise the Lord. If you want to say praise the Lord, I love to hear it. I get so full of this word. And even when I should be singing, it is wonderful, and when I'm studying, I can't keep it quiet. 64 and the 8th verse. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay. They finally got it right. They're not the potter, but they're the clay. And thou art potter, and we all are the work of thy hand. You believe this? We are. We're the work of his hand. So he's got a right to do with us what he wants to do. All right. Now then, notice in this 24th verse of Isaiah 29, these that erred in spirit and those that murmured, those that erred in spirit will come to understanding, and they that murmured shall learn doctrine. They that erred in spirit had a hard spirit, and this is going to be exchanged for a right understanding. And he's going to bring this about through discipline. Remember, Israel's going to go through some fiery trials here yet, this remnant of Israel, before they finally accept him. But he's going to, this is going to come through discipline and instruction. They're going to have to be instructed in righteousness just like we today. I love that term, we're instructed in righteousness, because none of us knew about the righteousness of God until the Lord got a hold of us. And we have to learn from him, be instructed in this. Then the murmuring ones, this is something that I've asked the Lord, and when we begin to say, and everything is saying, we'll quit murmuring. Murmuring was one of the chief sins of Israel against of the Lord. Let's go back to the 14th chapter of Exodus and see when they began. Exodus 14 and the 11th verse. They barely got out of the land of Egypt. It was right after the Egyptians pursued after them and the Lord destroyed them. But notice in the 11th verse of the 14th chapter of Exodus. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Quite a murmur, isn't it? That this was the first murmuring right after they crossed the Red Sea. Here the Lord had delivered them from Egypt, and now they're in the wilderness, and they began to murmur. Now let's go to the 16th chapter and we'll read the first two verses. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month, after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured. I have been here the third time. The second murmuring is over in the 15th chapter, when they found no letter, and in the 23rd verse, on these troubled numbers, I wrote all of this in. That was the second murmuring in the 15th chapter in the 23rd verse. This is the third time they murmured. The second verse in the whole congregation, this is in the 16th chapter. The whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full, for ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. I love this book of Exodus and Numbers, because I learned a lot when we went through that. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians 10:10. So we'll start at the beginning, before then. It's wonderful to give thanks and everything, no matter what it is. 1 Corinthians 10, and let's start with the first verse and read down. All right. For brethren, or because brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized under Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and notice, and that rock was Christ, precious, isn't it? But they didn't even know it. But, howbeit, with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Remember, this word overthrown means strewn along on the ground. Think that first generation, all but two of them were strewn along on the ground because they did not believe the Lord, and they murmured. Quite a history. Now these things were our examples. Keep in mind, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, and it's the flesh that lusts, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, which is also the old creation, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. They did this when they made the golden calf, when Moses was up on the mount. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Can you imagine that many people all at once? Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, but were destroyed as serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. So all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages are come. I love that, because we're living at the end of the ages. The end of time, we're living at this end of time. Praise the Lord. It's wonderful, wonderful to be living at this time.